Colectivo Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
Right away, I found El Centro. I was kind of alone. I was kind of afraid when I first came to campus. It was a humongous campus.
But for me, when I was here as a student, you know, my first semester here was really rough. I was homeless, actually. And so my queerness didn't really matter because I was just trying to eat and not sleep outside in the duck pond.
But I really was like, wow, I'm different. And then I was like, wow, I'm brown. And even though I knew that, it was so different to actually experience being brown. And for the first time, I was amongst many white students, and I had not really understood what that meant. It was so different, even socially.
It might be our job to actually start an organization that is for us, but also we need El Centro and we need Afro to come together. We need these different ethnic centers to really come together and create a space that is welcoming to people that fit more than one of these categories.
Today, like, I want to go back to saying, like, I identify as Chicano, Akuma, Cree, gay, brown, you know, non-traditional student. The list goes on.
You just listened to some of the contributors for tonight's show presented by the Raíces Colectiva of KUNM. For tonight's show, we have the Latino U, the UNM experience. Our show will take you on a historical journey through the experience of Latino students at UNM from the civil rights periods to the present. We will be featuring alum who have made historical strides for equality, along with the current student leaders and staff who fight to make UNM a welcoming space. Contributors for tonight's show include staff members of El Centro de la Raza, Alejandro Mendia Rivera, staff members of the LGBTQ Center, Frankie Flores and Janice DeBrox. We will also include the voices of alumni students from Julia Maestas, Erika Gallegos, Suyen Rodriguez, and graduate student Elias Lopez. We also talk to the Latino students on campus, such as Eric DeLorme, Sean Campos, Mario Esparza, Darlene Castillo, and Adriana Molina. We begin today's discussion with the prominent leaders, Arturo Sandoval and Dr. Felipe Gonzalez, who were students at UNM during the civil rights movement of the 1960s. We explore the legacy of transformation that Latino students have pushed at UNM.
I was involved at UNM in 1968. In the fall of 68, we organized the United Mexican American Students. We went public with a number of issues starting in 1969. Our chief achievements, I believe, were founding and forcing the administration to create a Chicano Studies program and a Chicano Student Services program, which is now called El Centro de la Raza. The other big achievement there, I think, was that we actually worked with the 98% Mexicano workers in the physical plant who were totally banned and prohibited from becoming supervisors in the department. To get them organized through the Communications Workers of America, and that union is still there representing the physical plant workers, and now the Mexicanos are supervisors in the department, as it should be. I think those were our two major achievements, well, as a student group back in 68, 69, 70, 71. This is a period of about maybe 72, 4 years. So this is what UNM was like when I entered as a freshman.
It was pretty wild. 1968 was a hell of a year to start college for anybody because there was so much happening, a lot of political organizing happening all over the country and all over the world, actually. Everything from reform movements to revolutionary movements, and that was true at UNM. And so as soon as I started at UNM, then I got involved with United Mexican American Students and which was the main Chicano organization at that time, later be supplanted by MECHA, but in 1968, it was UMAS that was the major Chicano organization that I got involved with.
The administration wouldn't fund us. They tried to block our any effort we made to try to approach the faculty to get it gone through the process. So what we had to do was sit in. We ended up taking over the president's house. He lived on campus, on the president's house on campus. And we just went several times around 10 o'clock or midnight, 100 or 200 of us, rowdy Chicano students, and we just entered into his house, not violently, peacefully, and put some coffee on, and his wife put a little coffee on. They ordered in some pizza, and then we just said, we're not leaving till we have a conversation about funding the centers. They tried a lot of tactics, like they came back when we united with the Kiva Club, which were the Native American students, and with the Black Student Union, and with us, and said, all for one and one for all. We anticipated they were going to try to pick us off one at a time and offer probably the RASA, the A Chicano Studies Center, but not them, and say they didn't have the funding. Sure enough, that's exactly what they did, but we had already anticipated that. And we said, no, you're going to fund all of us, or we're not going to leave. We're not going to leave faculty senate meetings. We're not going to leave your office, Mr. President. We're not going to leave your house. We're not going to leave you alone. You're not going to be in peace. Until you give us justice, there's no peace in your life. You don't give us justice, you get no peace. So what's it going to be?
One of the topics we will explore in tonight's show is the notion of progress and the historical strides by Latino students at UNM. According to the Pew Hispanic Center, since 1970, the Hispanic population has grown 592%. By comparison, the U.S. population overall has grown 56% over the same period. What are the numbers for Latinos in New Mexico in higher education? Latinos in New Mexico with a bachelor's or higher degree only compose 14.2% of the state's population. Some of the challenges in higher education that we will be addressing by the contributors to tonight's show are English as a second language. Many are also first generation and low income. We also deal with this notion of imposter syndrome, or the fear of being exposed as a fraud despite being in high-achieving institutions. Overall, UNM has been successful in enrolling large numbers of Hispanic students. But when we look at graduation rates, Latino students at UNM only compose 16.7% of the graduation rates at UNM. Listening to these important numbers and facts about Latinos at UNM and in New Mexico is highly important to be able to see where Latinos stand at UNM. But most importantly, we also have to capture the human element. And that's why we decided to have these interviews and conversations with various student leaders across UNM.
We really got to listen to the kinds of challenges that students currently face and have faced previously.
We simply asked students what their experience had been at UNM up to now.
All right, let's go ahead and listen to how some of those first experiences were like.
Being as a Latino student, I think a lot of people can identify with this, that your parents don't know what the college life is like, so you really have to go and teach yourself all of these things. So coming to UNM, it was very new, and there wasn't anybody in my family that I could ask advice. I felt alone, and I think that's why I wanted to join a Latina sorority, because I wanted to be around people that were like me.
I am a first generation as well, and it was basically the same thing. My parents, you know, didn't know much about scholarships or what college was about or what UNM was about, so I had to learn everything myself, like, you know, Google everything as well. I do have a family member who had just graduated UNM, so she helped me out just a bit. But other than that, it was also like self-taught. So, you know, I didn't know where to go, like where to go my resources, or I didn't know anything. So that was very, very difficult for me.
I certainly wouldn't be here if I wasn't welcomed. I wouldn't attend this university if I wasn't welcome. A lot of the staff and faculty have always been supportive during my academics. I haven't come across any faculty that hasn't like supported me and hasn't not allowed me to voice my opinion. So I can't say that they don't welcome me, because I've always been comfortable here. You know, the only unwelcoming feeling are some of the students that are you know, white, and how they don't understand my perspective. And it could be like a class on gender and race, and some students just don't understand.
I feel very fortunate in my experience as a queer Latino in just my life in general, because I didn't face a lot of homophobia. I was an RA here, and I'm a big dude, and so people are afraid of me. I don't think I look scary, but people tell me I look scary. So people just wouldn't mess with me, which was awesome and which was a blessing. I feel, you know, now working within the university and working with other universities, you know, we're certainly not the best. But I would say we're like high middle. You know, I think that we are a pretty inclusive campus. And I think that we've done a lot of work on this campus. And I think it's exciting to see a lot of the stuff that we're doing now for trans and queer students here on this campus. And I think that we're doing more than a lot of places, especially in the Southwest. You know, I think that where we are living, we do have this like notion of complacency. And that complacency, I think, sometimes leads to microaggressive acts that are transphobic or homophobic in nature. And so I think that we are combating that by actually talking about it. And people are just like, well, why do we have to talk about this? Why does it matter? And it matters because, you know, 41% of trans people attempt suicide at least once in their life because of the way that we treat them and because we don't talk about these issues. So I think that UNM is really helping to combat that.
You know, I'm glad that we do have a resource center for queer students on campus. Back when I graduated from the one-room schoolhouse, that didn't exist. We didn't have GSAs or anything like that when I was in high school. And so being a student and then also working with students, that's been a really different kind of experience, hearing what goes on in their lives and what kinds of things are they thinking about. And it kind of makes me feel old sometimes because I'm like, what exactly are you talking about?
After listening to some of these first experiences from UNM students, we jump into asking, what are some of the support systems at UNM for Latino students? Was the notion that most of the students that are successful at UNM are the ones that are able to find a community, a sense of home away from home. And that could be through many of the ethnic centers, that could be in their student leadership roles, or that could simply be sometimes in the departments where they feel at home. And so it is very important for these students to find a community to be able to develop their own skill sets and develop and grow as an individual.
Of the many resource centers for students, one of the major contributors for student success is El Centro de la Raza. And we're going to hear Alejandro Mendiaz, who is a program specialist at the center, go ahead and talk about their services.
Well, I always like to tell people that student program specialist is a fancy way of saying I'm here to help students. I'm here to help students with getting into UNM, with being successful at UNM, and with graduating and successfully being able to pursue a career. We believe that education takes place as much inside the classroom as it does outside the classroom. And so we try to help students with all the outside the classroom stuff, from developing their leadership skills through student organizations, to having a space to study, to developing their professional, their research skills, all the skills that they're going to need to be successful, both in college and out of college. And of course, El Centro de la Raza, you know, the name's in Spanish. You don't have to speak Spanish. You don't have to be Latino. However, everything that we do is with the focus of helping our Latino, Hispano, Mexicano, Chicano, Raza community be successful in this space that is the university.
I was able to get connected with El Centro de la Raza, which is where the Hispanic students go. And I really felt like it was a big familia, that you're able to connect with other students that may be from the same place that you grew up in, or they come from the same background, or they're struggling with the same things as you are. And so with my organization and El Centro de la Raza, I really found a place that I felt like I belonged. And it really enriched my college experience because I felt like, okay, I'm not the only one that is struggling. And I'm not the only one that feels like I'm going to fall apart. And I really felt like I became part of the family at UNM through El Centro de la Raza.
I think for me, it was once again through El Centro de la Raza. I met a lot of other Greeks, a lot of Latino Greeks within El Centro. So a lot of them were saying, oh, you should become Greek, like go Greek and stuff. So I really didn't know what it was about. Once again, like the whole college experience, like you really don't search for those things at the beginning. So then they said, definitely look into it. But they said, look into a Latina sorority. You would probably fit in a little bit more and, you know, feel a little more comfortable. So I said, hey, why not? They speak Spanish, so...
I am from Mexico, so I came here as an international student, and what drew me into joining a fraternity is the bond that the brothers had, also the welcomeness that they gave me, because I knew one of them, and my first semester, in the transition of coming here, I started living with them, so I just got to know them really well. Like, they were really welcoming, they were really like, they had this bond, this fraternity. That's what I wanted to do, you know? And I mean, I didn't know anyone, so I figured that by joining the fraternity, I was going to be able to branch and get to know more people.
One of the big things that the fraternity drew me in on when joining them was the fact that they were not only about just, oh, we're Mexican. It's we're every kind of Latino. We have brothers from Honduras and the Fijian Islands, and we have everything in between. And the fact that they were so accepting was just a huge thing for me.
I lived in a college town out here in Albuquerque where Greek life was not seen as a negative thing, but it was seen as a positive. I was around this atmosphere, and it's quite contagious. I saw the growth, not just the professional growth, but all the growth socially and everything like that. People were coming out of their shells and becoming professionals, and everything was going so good for them. And that's quite infectious, if you would say. So when I came here to Albuquerque, I didn't come with any of those notions that it was negative here. I didn't know anybody when I came back. So when I got here, I wanted to feel the same way I felt over in California, in Davis, California, to be exact. I wanted that same feeling. I wanted to recreate it. Like I said, I didn't find the group of people to recreate it with. So with the other guys that weren't brothers at the time, now they're brothers, we started this whole thing, and it became what I sought after, what I saw over there. I wasn't part of any organization over there, but what I saw, it was possible to recreate it here. So we just took a step forward and created it.
The FRO has been extremely helpful in my undergrad experience, the way that it exposed not only me but so many students to different issues at UNM, and it gave us a place where we could become active, where we could voice our opinions, where we could actually reach out to the provost or just express our issues to UNM. So it was very helpful in terms of becoming active in the community and at UNM.
I contacted my friend Ami Pacheco. He's from the Pueblo of Santo Domingo, and we actually both went to SIPI and to CNM. And so I asked to meet with him, and then he's the one who told me about PNMGC, and then he's also the one who told me about the American Indian Student Services. So when I first came to the orientation, I don't remember going to these services. Maybe they did, but I didn't remember, because if I did, I would have went to them, you know. So eventually I reached out to him because he's a man of color as well. And with that, he's the one who told me and explained like what these services are or what these organizations are for and how they would help support me through my academic journey. And what I did was I made an appointment with American Indian Student Services, went to their orientation. I found a mentor. And again, Ami was my mentor. And so with that, I was also able to find out about like the McNair Scholarship Program. Then that's when I found out about PNMGC. And then I applied online to PNMGC. And then he became my mentor as well. And so with PNMGC, I was able to find out about like what it is to have imposter syndrome, or, you know, scheduling, like how to schedule out my studies or academics. And again, it's just always that mentorship and that support. But finding it was not easy. I had to go out and look for it. So I had to take the incentive and find these resources, or find person, and then find the resources, and then mentorship. I'm like, I have one more class to complete, which is my research project, and I'm done. And so I'll go ahead and go on to law school, which was nothing that was in my future. I just wanted a bachelor's degree. But after finding that mentorship, especially through PNMGC, why not get a graduate degree? Or why not go to grad school? Or why not go to law school or medical school? Why do I have to stop at BA, you know, the BA level? Why not go to the doctorate level? And so that's where I'm at right now in my journey.
We've heard some of the first experiences students have when they enter the University of New Mexico and what some of the resources the university has for student success. What about the everyday issues that students face on the campus itself?
It's interesting to me because we all Latinos, like, we immigrate to the United States, and instead of sticking together, we still have a lot of animosity and a lot of deeply rooted hate against each other. But we have a whole lot of things like this, this belief that we need to avanzar la raza, like we need to marry white people so that our kids have better hair, so that they have lighter skin. We have pelo bueno, pelo malo, people that have good hair and bad hair, quote unquote. And all of these beliefs that, because they are in the Latino community and Latinos that come to UNM still come from families that believe in that. So it's kind of hard to run away from that type of belief until you actually face it and you realize it and you do something against it. So I've experienced it in my personal life and at UNM from fellow Latino students.
I know that this has been a topic that's been going around about the safety on campus. And And as a woman, it's sometimes I stay on campus really late. I work on campus. I go to school on campus. I study on campus. So I typically stay till the library closes at 2 a.m. And I sometimes forget to move my car closer to the library. So that means that I have to walk across campus by myself. And I've never felt scared. But I know that there have been instances where people try to do something to you. And I know that UNM has been working to better that, better the environment for everybody. Women are, for some, easy targets. And so I think that that's something that really impacts us. And thankfully, that nothing has ever happened to me, but I know that it could, but I'm hoping that it doesn't.
I would probably have to say the Latino student involvement on campus, even though our numbers, you know, within the Latinos and on campus in UNM are pretty high. But at the end of the day, it's actually very difficult to get those people involved. It's really hard to bring them around into El Centro La Raza, to bring them into, you know, meet the Greeks here on campus. Like, you will not have that involvement, unfortunately, of the Latino students. So probably in those areas, I would probably say, like, doing something to reach out to them a little bit more, educate them a little bit more as well, that there is other organizations that they can look into.
For the final question, we asked our participants, what do they think about the advancement Latinos have made at the UNM campus? What do they think are the key changes, efforts, or improvements we need to make towards the future?
We're going to go ahead and listen to the remarks students made about how they envision the Latino experience for the future.
I think it's important to start educating the UNM campus on all of these different identities, and I'm going to speak for Afro-Latinos. We need to be included, and we need to be talked about, and we need exposure, and we need to teach our peers and other students and faculty about this identity, because it's not something new. It's been around forever, but somehow there's a lot of resistance to it and a lot of people that don't believe that being a Black Latino is an actual thing, because we're the flagship university of UNM, and researchers and people that want to do research come here, and we need to make sure that when they leave UNM, they have a good understanding of these different identities, especially because we are a majority school. So we would expect, I would expect, more better racial understanding from people that leave UNM.
I think that's why it's so important for us to be as vocally and actively, like, queer, trans, you know, undocumented, you know, people of color on campus, because there aren't people like us. When we look at brochures, like, we don't see ourselves. And so the louder we are and the more out and proud we are with any of our identities, we are making it easier for younger generations.
I feel like the best of the best in the state do come to the University of New Mexico. Like Erica mentioned, as much as we hated that label placed on us, like, you got here by chance, don't ruin it. In many ways, we were extremely resilient and extremely blessed to be able to be here at the university, because very few of us got to come here. Whether we grew up in the West Side, the South Valley, the war zone, or up north, not a lot of us got to come here. Not a lot of us stayed. Many left. Many didn't make it and returned right back into that slump. And so one of the things that I think I would hope to see is that the education system in New Mexico be improved drastically in K-12 and even in early ed, because those students need to be given that same opportunity that we had to come here, and not only to be here, but to thrive and to still continue to give back. Many of us, once we come here, we leave. I left myself. I went to the East Coast. I went to California, and I was in an extremely progressive place. And I was very spoiled, because I was like, wow, I'm in, like, the greatest place in the world. I'm so spoiled. But when I came back, I really noticed the difference of how little progress happens in New Mexico and how many of the best leave, that get educated, that stay here at UNM and graduate, and they leave. There's nothing for us here as young professionals. It's extremely challenging for us to continue our careers here and to continue to give back. And I think that we need to see an improvement of being able to retain the best of the best to stay here to give back. There is a young progressive movement of leaders in this state that have struggled through and stayed and will continue to still do good work here, but that group needs to grow.
You're part of a much longer struggle. So I think Raza activists, all of us,
students at UNM faculty, we have to understand that changing institutions like university require longer term views, and we can't lose faith and we have to stay at it.
You have been listening to Espejos de Aztlán on KUNM. Today's show has been The Latino U, The UNM Experience.
Contributors for today's show are Moises Santos, Bobby Gutierrez, Rafael Martinez, and I am Froilán Orozco. We would like to give a special thanks to Cristina Bachin for all her support. Thank you for listening.
No permitiremos más tu doctrina del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó. 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 Países solo corporaciones, quien tiene más acciones, trozos gordos, poderosos, decisiones por muy pocos, constitución pinochetista, derecho pues de hilando fascista, golpista disfrazado de un indulto elitista, cae la gota, cae la bolsa, la toma, se toma la máquina rota, la calle se raya, la calle no calle, debate que estalla, todo lo quitan, todo lo venden, todo se lucra, la vida, la muerte, todo es negocio, bajo tu tonto semilla, pascuala, método seguro. Tus monólogos, tus discursos incoloros. No ves que no estamos solos. Millones de polo a polo, al son de un solo coro. Marcharemos con el tono, con la convicción que basta de robo. Tu estado de control, tu